Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
On a give for the all-time leading rusher for the Niners, Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Handoff Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 13 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you haven't already, go and sign up for the South Harmon Patreon at patreon.com/South Harmon. There you can find all sorts of cool discussions. You can find people that love fantasy just as much as you do. And in addition, if you sign up for the pregame pooper tier, you can get access to talking with Dynasty Barry and I about all sorts of cool data analytics things. I tend to put some of my data that I use in my podcasts in that channel. Dynasty Barry puts some data that he uses into that channel. And in general, it's just a channel that you can go in and nerd out about fantasy football. If you're listening to this podcast regularly, I know you are somebody that likes doing that, and so that's why I'm calling it out as a place that you want to be. In addition, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can sign up for live prize breaks of awesome sports memorabilia. If you've been looking at Mike's transitioning background behind him during all of his videos, you'll notice a lot of awesome signed gear, and he's getting all of that from Ultimate Autographs. In order to get our 15% off discount, go to signedshit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout. Once again, go to signedshit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout. This week, and probably a few other weeks over the course of the month of July, I'm going to be looking at stacking. Now, the reason that I'm looking at this is because all the buzz right now is about underdog. And so many content creators are going out, they're slowly shifting towards that redraft season. And when you hear them talking about underdog, because that's the main thing going on right now, that you can actually actively draft for, actively make moves for, underdog is all about stacking. In underdog, they talk about you want to have stacks in terms of having players on the same team, so that way you have higher ceiling. You want to stack the same games when you get to the playoffs. So if you're trying to win the championship in week 17, you want to stack some games in week 17 in the hopes that you're able to have a really high ceiling if that game goes off and you end up having players on both teams where that high scoring game you get a ton of fantasy points off of. So in underdog, that makes a lot of sense from thinking about it. The reason you want to do stacking, the reason you want to game stack, is because once you get to the playoffs, it's not a 1v1 matchup. Your 1v1 matchups are instead going to be replaced with you against a pool. So each week, the top X percent of the pool or the top certain number are the ones that get to advance. Everyone else just gets dropped. So you want to be playing for ceiling. You don't care about floor. If you're able to beat 60% of the people in a certain week, that gets you nothing because you weren't in the top 10% or the top 5% or whatever it is that you need in order to advance. So being top 60% every single week just doesn't matter. So how does this mindset potentially translate into how we are roster constructing our current teams? Well, we might be biased by this. We might think that our current dynasty teams or redraft teams or whatever, when they're in those 1v1 matchups, that they should be stacking in order to have a better ceiling. But when you're 1v1, it's not about beating a ton of people. You don't need the ceiling necessarily. You just need to beat your opponent more times than they beat you. So if you can increase your floor compared to your ceiling, that might be the winning strategy. And if you know that you are the weaker team, then it might make sense to be stacking. It might make sense that, hey, I want to increase my ceiling because that is how I'm going to win. I need to have a higher ceiling rather than play for a higher floor because that's the way I'm going to beat this team I'm against. Now, it's all great to talk about the theory of this, but the main thing that I wanted to do was investigate, hey, does this actually make sense? And I wanted to look at it just from a base level, okay, stacking yes or no. And I've changed some definitions here for stacking compared to some of the ways it's discussed normally, just so that way it was a little bit easier on my data polls this week. Later in July, I kind of want to delve into some more specifics of this, but for right now, this is my definition of stacking. Stacking is just having multiple players on the same team. I don't care about whether it is a wide receiver and a tight end, or whether it's a quarterback and a wide receiver. But all I care about is that you have multiple players on the same NFL team in your lineup at the same time. That is all that I'm paying attention to. And so I'm not going to be talking about whether it made sense to, say, have Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown. If as long as it's two Cardinals on the team, it counted as a stack. So even if it was James Conner and Trey McBride, most people wouldn't consider that to be a stack in the traditional sense. But in terms of my data for this week, that is what we are paying attention to. So I wanted to look at the number of stacks for each team in three different time frames. The first one is just the number of stacks overall in a dynasty league. How many teams actually even have a stack or even have multiple stacks? Then the second point in time that I want to look at is how many teams that make the playoffs have a stack. Is there something to be gained throughout the regular season by having stacks on your team? And then the third one is how many teams win the championship with a stack. If any of these numbers increase or decrease, they can tell you whether stacking is a good idea or not. They can tell you whether you want to have stacks or whether you don't want to have stacks. So that is what I'm going to be looking at. And so with that, let's begin with looking at the number of stacks across an entire league on every single team. So across my entire data set, I had 1,402,822 teams that actually played in week one. And out of those, over 1,080,000 of them had stacks of some sort. So 77% of teams had one or multiple stacks. And at first, I thought this was kind of surprising. It seemed like a lot. It seemed like a number that was almost unbelievable. But then I thought about my parameters. My parameters are just that any two players in your starting lineup are on the same team. And I started looking through my own personal teams. And because I'm not somebody that subscribes to the stacking theory, I prefer to play as somebody that has a higher floor. And I just want to beat you 60% of the weeks with my higher floor, and I force you to need to have your team go off in order to beat me. So, knowing that, I started looking at my teams, and I noticed that my teams were actually pretty close to this number. Actually, taking a look at my recording process here, I just took about a 10-minute break to figure out how many of my teams had stacks in them, and found out that it's even more than I expected. Out of my 40 leagues, only two of them don't have some sort of stack in their starting lineup. So everything I was saying previously about how, like, oh, I don't want to stack, I want to have a higher floor. Well, apparently that's not how I actually play. So maybe that's something I need to look at myself. Maybe this is something you need to look at with your own leagues too, if you like stacking or not like stacking. I was surprised at how many stacks I had on my teams. So now back to our regularly scheduled conversation. The number of stacks is actually much higher than you would think when you don't count it as quarterback to wide receiver or quarterback to tight end. If you're just counting multiple players on the same team, which is what they talk about doing when you're in Underdog. Yes, it's primarily a quarterback to receiver because there's more correlation. But even stacking running backs is something that can be helpful and something that you should be interested in. If you're interested in one offense, you should want to have all pieces of that offense. So that's definitely something that you want to be focusing on and something that you want to be paying attention to. And stacking is actually something that is quite common. And I think that also just makes pure sense. If you believe that the quarterback is going to do well on a team, you probably think that their running back is going to do well too. If you think that a tight end is going to do well, you probably think one of their other receiving weapons is also going to do well. And so things like that, where it obviously there's a lot of overlap. You're in on an offense or you're out on an offense. So that encourages you to stack naturally. And so obviously I found that I am even more into that than I thought. But it's something that is important to recognize that, hey, the rate of stacking is a lot. So now that I mentioned how easy it is to have one stack, what's kind of interesting is how many teams have more than one stack. So as I mentioned earlier, 77% of teams have at least one stack. But only 42% of teams have one stack. All the other 35% of teams actually have more than that. 24.5% of teams have two stacks, and 7.1% have three stacks. Those numbers were really surprising to me when I initially looked at it yet again. But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. Since I have so many stacks on my team, since one stack is just so common, seeing that a lot of these teams have more than one stack, it just makes sense. So what we're seeing is that in fantasy football, stacking is not only something that is common, but it's done multiple times. All these concepts that we talk about in Underdog of you want to be targeting certain stacks, what they're trying to do is they're trying to go overboard with the stacks. So rather than just having two players on a team, they want to have three or four. And they want to have these super stacks of players, as opposed to in the stacks that just naturally happen. Like, you're naturally going to have multiple players from the same team in your starting lineup. Keep in mind, all of this is starting lineups. In Underdog, they talk about doing 3-4 players from the same team, but not all of those guys are necessarily in your starting lineup. They're even across your bench. And so that sort of idea is just something that it happens naturally. It's something that if you are paying attention to your dynasty teams, you're paying attention to, hey, I think this offense could do well, you're naturally going to develop these stacks anyway. And so while an Underdog, yeah, you might want to focus a little bit more on getting high-end players from the same team as opposed to having it be like your tight end and one of your flex wide receivers or something like that. It is something that naturally is going to happen even in your non-Underdog leagues, in your standard redraft, your standard dynasty. And so it's something that we're going to always be dealing with. It's something that you aren't really going to fully shy away from. And we need to be aware that it is a part of our teams. What is kind of interesting is comparing this to the total overall of teams that make the playoffs. So surprisingly, compared to what I thought, in that you would not want to have stacks if you're going to have a higher floor and be able to enter the playoffs, more teams actually make the playoffs that have a stack compared to the total number of teams. So as I mentioned before, 77% have stacks, and 79.3% of teams that are in the playoffs have stacks. So that number actually increases by 2%, and it is something that is obviously noticeable. It's a whole 2.3% increase. So you do want to have stacks if you want to have a better chance at making playoffs. Or maybe those teams without stacks are just really that bad because they are not balancing it out at all. I don't know exactly, but that's what we're looking at. And then what's really interesting is comparing the number of stacks per team. So you would think, okay, 79.3%, that's an increase of 2.3%. We want to expect to see that the number of teams with one stack is going to increase. But that actually decreases by 0.8%. So the number of teams with one stack is 41.2% in the playoffs, whereas the teams that have one stack overall is 42%. So what does that mean? Well, that means that our number that have two and three actually has to increase. And that's what we see. At two stacks, we see that increase by 1.3%. And at three stacks, we see that increase by 0.8%. So what we actually see is that you want to have more stacks in order to make playoffs than just one. Like, yeah, that's the majority of teams only have one stack. But teams that stack a little bit more, as long as they're getting it right, they're actually doing better. It is a noticeable increase, and so you actually do want to have stacks. And remember, this isn't quarterback receiver stacks. This can be two receivers, this can be a tight end and a running back, whatever. You just want to be invested into the right offenses, and you want to be focused on, hey, when I'm spending my capital, if I'm already invested in an offense, I think that they might be the team that I want to ride with, that I need to get more players on that same team that are going to hit my starting lineup. And so you see this happen as well with the championships. So in championship teams, we actually have 80.4% that have a stack. So that number increases from teams that make playoffs. And the number of teams that have one stack, it increases ever so slightly in terms of compared to the playoffs, that it goes up by 0.6%. But notably, the number of teams that have two stacks increases by another 1.1%. The number of teams that have three stacks, it stays basically constant. It's 8% on the championship winners compared to the 7.9% of teams that are in playoffs. So what is this telling us? This is telling us that it is actually optimal, if you want to win a championship, to have one or two stacks. The teams that are making the playoffs, they are more likely to have have two or three stacks compared to the teams that are just overall in the league. But then once you make the playoffs, having that one or two stacks is what helps you win a championship. So if you're comparing all this, this means that over the course of an entire season, I want to be aiming for having two stacks on my team. I want to have two different offenses that I am invested in with multiple players, and I need to make sure those bets are correct. And that's what this data is showing us. This data is showing us that with that optimal two-stack strategy, that that's how we're going to win in our dynasty leagues. Note that this whole discussion started because of Underdog and because of things like that. Like, Underdog, totally different beast. I'm not looking at that. And that is not this show. Pay attention to some other Underdog shows. I'm sure they do this kind of analysis there as well. But if you are looking at dynasty, in dynasty leagues, you want to have two stacks of just multiple players on the same team. And this is across average leagues. So keep in mind that this is not necessarily even at your like 14 team leagues, if you're in those, or even your 12 teams. Like, go back to my episode one, the number of starting roster spots in leagues, the number of teams in a league. Like, you're just bog standard leagues. You want to try and have two stacks on your teams that you're competing in. And that is not something that I was expecting. But the more I think about it, this is my theory as to why that makes sense. I think that it makes sense to have two stacks because you can have either one fire. But trying to cram in more than that ends up hampering your ability to just have good players in the other spots. In fantasy football, we're trying to balance floor versus ceiling. And one stack that fires can absolutely make up for another one that doesn't. And if you try to have one stack fire that makes up for two that don't, then it becomes a problem. Those two that don't fire might not match up to that one that did fire. And so two seems to be the right amount. Two is the number that you want to have, so that way when those players fire together, you're able to get those bonus points. And when they don't, you still have enough other floor that you still have a chance at winning your matchup. You still have a chance that your other players are going to give you a high enough floor. Maybe one of them is going to fire by themselves, or just in general, it's hard to stack too many players that are actually top tier guys. So that's what I'm going to take away from this. In all of my contending teams, I want to be aiming for two stacks that are going to be consistently in my lineup, or at least a part of my starting squad. Even in best ball leagues, I'm aiming for, in that, you know how Sleeper will show you your starting lineup just based off of projections? I'm aiming for having two stacks in that starting projection. That's what I want to do, because for regular season, that's optimal. And for playoffs, that is also optimal to get me to the championship and win it. So that's what I'm going to be playing for this year. You'll probably notice in some of my leagues, I'm going to target some specific players. I might be looking at, okay, I've already got a stack going in Arizona, so I want to try and get a different stack going maybe in Jacksonville. I noticed when I was going through a lot of my leagues, I just had stacks in those already. I have a lot of James Conners and then like a Marvin Harrison or a Kyler Murray. Or I have a weird amount of Brian Thomas and Christian Kirk across my leagues. So it's just kind of a weird combination, but that's a stack. That is something that I already have. And so getting things like that, potentially even targeting some more lesser known ones. Maybe I can target a Davante Adams and a Jacoby Myers sort of stack in a bunch of places. Like, I noticed that I had one or two of those across my leagues, like things like that, where I'm going to try and create some stacks that are a little bit different than you would necessarily expect, but do it with the intention of trying to get an additional stack into my lineup. And I have to go through all my leagues and figure it out, because as I already mentioned, I have a lot of stacks. I have a lot of leagues that already have one stack in them. So I need to just go through and see if I can get all the ones that are competing up to two. Obviously, if you're rebuilding, you're just playing for value, this doesn't matter. But if you're trying to compete, try and get yourself a second stack if you don't have one. You might already have one, but from what I see, only about a quarter of teams actually have that second stack. And so I want to try and get into that second stack realm, because that is where the teams that have two stacks actually tend to do better. So that's all I have for you this week. As I mentioned earlier, I'm probably going to be revisiting this topic later on in July when I go into maybe what kinds of stacks are the best, what players last year were the best stackers, things like that. So that's what I'm going to be going into later in July. But next week, I'm going to be doing a special episode. It might be a little bit longer than your usual one. But look out for next week's episode, where you'll want to be sat down with your Sleeper app. I'll be explaining to you what I'm doing and what you should be doing as you're listening to the episode as well. So make sure that next week, you have a little bit of time set aside in order to actually take some action based on that episode. So once again, that's everything for this week. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge.